Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Grace of God. Chapter 3. Grace as the set of willingness and action of God in favor of the human beings. In the previous chapters, we mentioned that God's grace is described in the Scriptures as having its alive source in the Lord and having the characteristic of being composed of manifold aspects, which certainly makes it more challenging speaking about this grace, since to understand it, it also is necessary to comprehend several points encompassed by it. On the other hand, the more aspects regarding God's grace begin to be observed and the more the multiform description and performance of grace begins to be unveiled, the more it is possible to see that grace is present in all God's actions in favor of human beings. If we figuratively compare grace with the mobilization that is necessary for a service of rescue and assistance to the population to be available in a particular city, we could perhaps compare one of the aspects of grace with those actions that have been and are present throughout the whole project, but which are not necessarily so explicit or visible to the natural eye. Grace, in this example, would be present in that item that generated the willingness to create and provide a care service, in the aspect that caused the willingness for the project to receive all the necessary resources to become available, and, as well, in those points or actions that generate the disposition and the resources for this service to be in fact accomplished when a need to execute it occurs. In the way that we are looking at it particularly in this chapter, God's grace is the express goodwill that is in God to favor all human beings with the purpose that they also come to achieve what is good for them in the present and eternal life. In its multiple facets, the grace of the Lord encompasses 1. The practical willingness that exists in the goodness of God in wanting to share His love, righteousness, salvation, peace, power, and resources abundantly, and this, so that all people may achieve what is good for their lives indeed. 2. The willingness and the power to mobilize, according to the righteousness of God, all that which is necessary so that the desire to favor people also becomes expressed in a tangible or real offer. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The grace of God is a virtue of the divine nature that exists in the Lord that makes God have the willingness to act in favor of the human beings, but it is also the aspect that makes the Lord offer or manifest in fact and for free His favor to the people, having done it beforehand or manifesting it when people need the specific action of the Lord on their behalf. Therefore, the grace of God is expressed in two distinct moments. At first, it is always present in God and willing to act on behalf of people. In the second moment, it is expressed by a willingness which also manifests itself in a concrete intervention of God on behalf of those to whom He manifests His grace. As we mentioned above, the grace of God, in one of its aspects, is what makes God wanting that the goodness that is in Him may be available to all, but it is also what causes God to act on behalf of people so that His kindness is available to them indeed. The grace of God is the Creator Himself, with all His contingent of love, power, righteousness, and all His other resources, willing to save human beings and give them a life under His goodness. However, it also encompasses all the set of actions that God, and those who serve Him, have done, do, or will do so that what God is willing to do for people may also be available to them or in them. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. In its multiple ways of manifesting itself or of acting, God's grace is also the expression of the global set which contemplates God's willingness, readiness, power, capacity, resources, and actions in favor of the human beings. Thus, finding grace before God or obtaining the condition of receiving the grace of God in personal life is to reach the position or condition in which God's willingness to be favorable to a person also effectively becomes possible to be experienced in the life of the one who longs for the work of the heavenly grace on his or her behalf. Being able to count on the grace of God is even more sublime than receiving some gifts from God. To be able to count on the grace of God is to find oneself in the position and condition in which the Lord is willing to give, in due time, all the gifts that are necessary for the life of the one who lives under this grace so that he or she may experience the Lord's will and newness of life abundantly. Receiving some gifts from God is immeasurably marvelous, but being able to count on the grace of God is to be in a favorable condition before the source of all the good gifts of the Lord for the most varied circumstances, remembering that. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Here we also recall that a broader approach to this last mentioned verse is described in the subject on every good gift and every perfect gift from the series of themes about the life of the Christian in the world. The greatness of the grace of God is manifested in all that it has foreseen, provides, and foresees, as well as in everything that it has already done, does, or will do. By His grace, God aims at making even more evident that His intention to love us is not made up of vain promises or theoretic plans to be contemplated only. By His grace, the Lord also makes that His thoughts of goodness toward us become real conditions that allow us to access what He intends for us. Among its principal aspects, divine grace is a living and ongoing willingness of God to act in deed or in a practical way in favor of human beings, which accentuates or highlights, even more, the practical willingness that has always been in the goodness and in the love of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. When God presents and offers us His grace, it is as if God has been reaffirming, in a clear and evident way, that He works for us and that, on His part, He always wants to cooperate with us and favor us with abundance for our good. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. God be praised for the whole set of what is His grace.